You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
It is. What's up? And welcome everyone to Faces and Feels. Anything goes. That's right. I am back. Back from a long time away from the mic. I've been all over the world. And by the world, I mean Japan and then also South Australia. So, you know, kind of far away places. And Jesus, I'm so tired, Alex. With all me. It's my homie from Violence and oh my God, you're going to have to take over the show. I can't do it.
Don't rely on me for that.
Yeah. To be fair though, I did just text you and was like, I slept through every alarm I ever had. I just woke up like I was fucking old mate in Jumanji, like, what year is it? And I looked and I had 15 minutes until we had to start and I had to like feed the dog and make a coffee and do all those things. So anyway, Alex is here. Talk, Alex, because I am fucked.
Yeah, so how was your trip? How was Japan?
It was great, dude. It's always great. It was our 10th Japan trip, I think, which kind of sounds insane when you say it out loud. But I guess for those who don't really know, like, Japan is a reasonably affordable place to fly to from Australia, depending on when you go, you know what I mean? Right. And so we quite often will plan our stuff around good flights and things like that. So it was pretty reasonable. And this one was fun too, because it's the first time we've ever been in the latter half of the year. So normally we go like, you know, so any time between January and April. And, you know, that's kind of colder months in Japan and winter and things like that. Escape the super blistering heat here in Australia and go to Japan. But this time we went in October for a couple of reasons. We wanted to check out Halloween in Japan because Japan love an event and a season. They'll theme everything. And so, you know, you do Disney and Universal and all those things, and everything has some kind of Halloween theme, which is very fun. You know, suddenly all the Disney characters wearing pumpkins and witches' hats and things like that. But then also we wanted to go to like the far north of Japan. So Hokkaido, Sendai, Hakodate, places like that, the Sapporo, that are normally under snow and ice. And if you go there in the times when we go, the fucking entire place is full of snow bros. And also it takes a very long time to get everywhere. Because, like, you know, if you're catching a bus out of somewhere else, you know, you're in the snow and or if you're trying to walk down the street, you're slipping over and, like, there's just all that stuff going on. So, yeah, it was fun to go at, like, a decent time because we were able to even do stuff like hire a car and drive around and check it all out and stuff. So, yeah, we had a really good time And I'm never going to regret going there. We went twice this year, which again is kind of stupid. We did two-week trips. We weren't intending to go in October and then we kind of got worked up about it and did it. So yeah, it was good. Were you on the Instagram checking the stories? We're pretty busy.
And then you sent a couple of the pictures I saw in there and some of the ones you sent me. It looked awesome. Some of the places, you know, mountains, waterfalls and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm like, man, that looks so sick.
Yeah, exactly. And all that and stuff is the kind of stuff I'm talking about where it normally be snow and ice and things like that. So going in autumn, you know, it was all like falling leaves and it was really, really nice.
Like some sort of Disney show you were at.
Oh yeah. So Disney loves to do shows, but because we were there for Halloween, they did like a Disney villains parade, which was pretty sick. So it's all like, you know, Maleficent and Jafar, and they've got their own floats, and it's playing like some kind of rockin' Disney, you know, Halloween track and stuff like that. It was really funny. People get pumped on those parades and things like that. The other thing that's really cool is that whenever we have been, and we've been at Disney's and stuff before, but whenever we've been, because it's been winter, I've never seen any of the characters getting around. You know, it's raining, the parades are cancelled, things aren't happening. Mm. So you can walk in and you can just get in lines and stuff like that, and there's nobody there, and you can basically walk onto rides, which is fun when you haven't been before and you want to tick off them all. But because we'd been a couple of times, we were like, we're not really going to base our days around trying to get on all the rides because we've done most of them. You know what I mean? There was a few new ones because at Disney Sea that opened a whole new area called Fantasy Springs. And let me tell you, Fantasy Springs, white woman Super Bowl, eh? They want it so bad. They want to be on the Tangled ride. No, the Frozen ride is I think the hottest one. It's a new Peter Pan, which is also sick. And then a Tangled. But like, there are groups on Facebook dedicated to how to crack the code, beat the lines, and get in and get on this line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amy is in those groups, but she does not interact. She just likes to watch it play out. Just likes to watch people lose their minds and melt down and be like, how do I know? You know, that kind of stuff is very funny to her. What we did, and this will end soon, but we had never stayed in like a Disney hotel or anything before. And it's like a little bit more expensive way to go about it. But by doing a vacation package, when we did do it, we did that. We set it up so we had access to both parks, and it also gave us Mochi's on my lap trying to bite her bone. And it also gave us fast pass entry to the Fantasy Springs area. And so that meant we could get into it not even fast pass, just entry, because it's so popular at the moment, you need to have a special ticket to even go into that area, to even be deemed worthy to go in there, and which means that the lines are a bit more reasonable once you actually get in there. And so we were able to go there. It was the last days of the holiday. We went to Disney. We checked in. We did the first park, like the standard park, and then the next day got up, went to the other park where we could go straight into Disney Sea and walk onto those rides and do each of them twice without ever lighting up. It was fucking amazing. It was so good. And then when we were coming out, like once it was a bit more like 11 a.m. or whatever, it was line around the block kind of deal. So yeah, we cracked it and it was very good. But I've heard that now that Fantasy Springs has been that way for a certain amount of time, it's going to open up and kind of become a normal part of the park. So it'll be insane for a while. But yeah, felt good to be better than people at holidaying, which when my wife plans it is usually how it goes. It was the other good thing about in Japan is it's not far from Disney to the airport. So we did those like 2 days last, and then it was like finish Disney Sea, get on a bus straight to the airport. We're checking in for our flight and we're going home. So yeah, it was pretty crazy. And so
nice.
And you plus you get heaps of extras, and you also get free drinks the entire time you're in the park, which is dope too. Like, I don't think alcohol ones are included, but you know how they're doing novelty drinks everywhere and shit like that.
Yeah.
Just whatever, you go in and you show your little card and you're good kind of thing. So I was like, this is actually the only way I'm ever coming to Disney again, is if I stay here and be treated like the VIP that I am, basically, you know. And it was also because it was recently my birthday while I was there. They insisted on putting a sticker on me that's like, happy birthday, I'm Rafe or whatever. And then every single staff member I saw or character in the streets of Disney would wish me happy birthday. And I felt like a princess. It was beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
I love that.
I can see I obviously had a birthday and I've you know, I've grown up, I've changed a little bit in a short amount of time. I noticed that since we've spoken, you've changed a little bit. You seem to have some kind of cybernetic attachment light connected to your head. What's going on? What is this?
Do I?
Oh, I have just realized what it is. It's a pen on your cat bridge, but it's catching the light from like your computer screen. And it looked like you had like a cybernetic like spotlight aiming light, you know.
I'm still in my work clothes, and yeah, I always have to have a pen, and yeah, sometimes I forget it's on my hat.
Why do I never put my pen on my hat? That's a great idea.
I lose pens all the time, so if it's always like in my peripheral vision, I won't lose it.
Guys, this is why you've got to listen to Faces and Feels. Not only do you get the host waking up within minutes of the show and not even knowing how to say his friend's name or the name of the show, but you also get important tips like how to enter Fantasy Springs at Disney Tokyo Sea and how to put a pen on your hat. That's pretty
great. There you go.
It's pretty great.
Dirt on the brim. You'll never lose it.
Never lose it again. But yeah, I thought it was some kind of light so you could like see what you were doing like directly under. Yeah, I was like, didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, no. That's very funny though.
Yeah, exactly. Have you you've been to any shows? You've been to any wrestling? I've seen, this is going to be a little bit more of a non-wrestling show, I think, because though I did see some, though I did see a little bit of wrestling, I haven't seen heaps. So in Japan, I was traveling on the day of New Japan's King of Pro Wrestling, but I then watched it on a train on the way back, saw Zack Sabre Jr. win the IWGP World title, really cool. I also, once we got back to Tokyo, I went to a Noah show, which was really good because it was like Mystery Monday Nights or something. I'm butchering the name, but it was like a Mystery Vortex type show. And so didn't know what the lineup was. Wouldn't have anyway because I don't really follow Noah. But I was surprised in the main event when Noah's Kenno comes out and his tag team partner is Blue Justice Yuji Nagata from New Japan. Fucking legend, former, you know, IWGP champion from back in the day. I popped huge for that. And that was at Shinjuku Face. Then we also went to the Fighting Detectives from Shinjuku with Love show that the Astronauts put on, which is kind of like a battle arts sort of blood sports style show. There were ring ropes, but it was like a real sort of shoot fighty type show. It was actually really cool. Again,
I enjoyed it like that.
And I didn't really know what to expect, but it became pretty evident what to expect. You know, really stiff, things like that. Plus, didn't know Takeda was going to be on the show, and he was, and he's as much of a weapon, like, without deathmatch weapons as he is with them. You know what I mean? He's everybody knows he's got MMA credentials and stuff like that, and you're like, holy fuck, this dude is crazy.
Yeah, one of my favorite bloods, I can't remember what blood sport it was. It was a couple years ago, but it was Takeda and I think Jonathan Gresham. I think that was the
match
one that they ran. And that's one of my favorites. That's one of the ones that's free on YouTube. So if anyone's interested and haven't seen it, they can just go on YouTube and watch that one. But that's a good one. And yeah, I like that a lot because you get like the deathmatch guy that versus the, you know, technical guy.
Yeah, grappler guy.
You know,
I love that juxtaposition of styles. And that was
going
to be to the last thing I watched, which was New Japan's Power Struggle, which just happened. Which is a great show. I'd recommend anybody watch it, especially if you're not really up on New Japan. They start to get a lot of things in place leading towards Wrestle Kingdom. But the big news that maybe you saw or other people would see is that after Zach's match, after sort of an interaction he has with another New Japan guy, Shota Umino, Ricochet attacks him from behind.
Okay.
To set up a match for Wrestle Dynasty, which is kind of like a Forbidden Door show the day after Wrestle Kingdom in Tokyo Dome. And I hadn't seen it. It was spoiled for me, but I was like, I didn't know I wanted to see that match until I saw that. And I was like, talk about a juxtaposition of styles, like Ricochet and Zack Sabre Jr. I was like, that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, I feel like Zack Sabre Jr., just from what I've seen of him, looks like he can have a good match with damn near anyone. So
he's so good, dude. He's so good.
And Ricochet is the same way.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Zach makes people look so good because he has that kind of stuff because he is, you know, probably one of the best, if not the best technical wrestler in the world. He does have that, but he's really developed that. Like I never used to rate him way back in the day. I didn't think his stuff looked convincing. I thought he used to sort of try and play like the strong style game with the dudes while being half their size and no sell shit all the time. And I didn't think he like, you know, I just wasn't convinced, right? But he's really, really developed. I mean, he's been in Japan for as long as I've fucking watched. Like I watched him debut in New Japan. And he's really come a long way to the point where he even has like heavyweight finishes. Like he's been winning matches with his new Sabre Driver 2. You've been tangoed driver, which is sick. It's like a variation on the Zach driver, which is the Taka Michinoku driver, where he kind of crosses their legs and like does this thing. And so he's been beating heavyweights with like a fucking heavyweight driver as well. Like it's
that's sick.
Yeah, it's been like a great sort of story, but he can still tap anybody out at a minute's notice. And it really feels like New Japan's behind him as like the new, like you're the champion. We're seeing this through. This is TMDK. This is what's happening at the moment. And it feels like it's his era right now. And he's absolutely earned it. For those that don't know, like when, like he lives in Japan, and when COVID and stuff hit, he didn't like run back to the UK and things like that. He just stayed in Japan. He wrestled for New Japan the whole way through. He lived there with them. Like he is a New Japan wrestler. And so though a lot of people are like, oh, they, you know, they don't trust foreigners and they always leave and go to AEW or WWE. He's had those offers. He's not interested in it. He always, he's always like, all I care about, my dream was to be in New Japan. It's like, and it's all I want. And I want to be like, I want to lift this company up and I want to be the best. And I, when you see his political views with it, like I 100% believe it. I don't think he gives a fuck about any of that shit. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah.
Yeah, because he could probably go anywhere he wants to go.
I mean, he's had the WWE contract.
Anyone's going to snag him if
yeah, they want. Well, absolutely. He, yeah. He write his own ticket, you know? And, like, he was in, like, the Cruiserweight Classic and he had those offers and shit like that. And
I forgot about that.
He turned him down. That's right. You know what I mean? I think there was a rumor. I think he was supposed to, either him or Kota Ibushi was supposed to win it, but they didn't want to sign to WWE, so they didn't. Like,
yeah, I think it was Kota. I could be wrong about that. That was a long time ago. I totally forgot all about
that. Yeah, exactly. But I'm pretty sure both guys had those offers and both didn't. And
went to
Japan. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I am. It's really, really great. And I know you don't watch as much New Japan stuff, but I think you could have a pretty good time with this stuff.
Yeah, I've been a little bit out of wrestling lately. I mean, I watched the NXT ECW Arena show. I guess it was a week ago at this point. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I tuned in for that just because it was at the 2300 Arena, and I love that place. Uh-huh. I didn't get to go. Tickets were a little out of my price range. Uh-huh. I wish I could have been there because it was a really fun show to watch. And never been on TV before, but seeing it on like NXT bringing it to TVs was really cool.
Yeah,
but that match was fun. It was just a very gimmicky, ECW tribute show. Yeah. But it was, I enjoyed it. And then it had that 5v5 women's match at the very end, which was really cool.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only big thing I've watched in wrestling in the past few weeks. I've been busy with work and stuff like that, but I had to catch that one. And I've been to a lot of concerts. I've been more focused on
I've been to like that, so many shows because, like you know, so we got back from Japan, and then within like a week of that, we were going to South Australia. We're going to Adelaide because there was a metal fest put on called Froth and Fury, which had like a ton of bands. Headlined by the like sort of Northlane, Thyitis, Murder, Fear Factory, things like that. Okay. And then also a couple of days prior to that, Coheed and Cambria and Periphery were there as well. So they went, fuck it, let's make it a 4-day weekend. And a bunch of us went, like 8 friends kind of deal.
That's really cool. That sounds awesome.
It was really fun. So we did Coheed and Cambria the first night, which was really cool. Periphery are one of the tightest bands I've ever seen live. It was unbelievable. Coheed and Cambria do tend to get in a bit of a jazz trance. Mm-hmm. Like, don't wake them from their jazz trance as they play for, 15 minutes in just one thing.
I'm not big on that kind of stuff either, to be honest. I mean, I like some Coheed songs, but
I swear, whenever Coheed were playing like their fun poppy bangers, they were the best band of the night. You know what I mean? And everybody was loving it. But then they do these songs that have all this like extra stuff. And even like the dudes wearing Coheed and Cambria shirts, I could see people looking bored. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
But they were mostly playing Good Apollo, like that album. They're playing all the songs from it. And, you know, of course, if you're going to play a full album, it's got all their interlude-y stuff and things like that. So that was just a choice. I felt like they could have edited their set, but, you know, they wanted to give the real diehards a thing. So it wasn't bad. It was just like, let's get to fucking, you know, the next banger. That's how I feel about it. I like that one. It's like, one last kiss for you. One, you know, that one. We looked up the set list before they played, and they were playing that last. When we saw them, they did the intro, and then they just played that straight away, and we're like, what else you got? Like, so you kind of knew that they'd sort of play one of their, like, my favorite song or whatever first. And I was like, you should play that last to keep me interested until the end, you know. But
I would have liked it. I would have been like, cool, you played my song. I'm out.
That's exactly
old for this shit. Yeah.
After it finished, I go, well, that's a wrap here, boys. We're fucking done. Kind of, we were just joking around. They do have more songs than I wanted to hear, though. But my friends Tillit and Jamie, they watched that. They waited until the other song they really wanted to see went, and then they were gone. They were like, we got the hotel. We're tired as, because they'd only had like an hour sleep before getting up, getting on the plane, like whatever, getting over to to SA, having a full day. They were just cooked. And they're like, well, that works out well for us. So,
exactly. Yeah.
But we still ended up not getting home till about 2 because our friends had friends there. And they're like, well, we'll go to a cocktail bar. And we went to like a nice cocktail bar and each had a cocktail and then shared a bottle of red wine, which is the theme of the weekend. What's that? Sorry. Hound singing. I had a cocktail that was called a Corpse Reviver, and I was like, this is the obvious choice for me right now. Right. And it was like lager, like a beer, but it had like, I don't know what alcohols, but it had like sort of like a honey lemon kind of vibe about it. It was really nice. Kind of felt like I'd put a lem sip in my, like, you know, for the kind of powder that you put in the hot water for a sore throat, you know, honey and lemon, like in my beer, but it was very nice. And then we did a full wine tour the next day out to McLaren Vale, which was really nice. If anybody ever goes, go to Molly Ducker Wines. They're the fucking best red wines ever. And then we did the full day of Froth and Fury. And we weren't doing one of those days where we're trying to mad see every single band. We were just catching highlights. Saw Great American Ghost, really enjoyed them. Who else did I see? Saw Sienna.
Did you know them before then? Because I know you recommended me them, or is that somebody you found out about at the show?
Found out about them leading up to the show. There was like a playlist for the show, so I was like listening to it and learning who would kind of be there. Sienna Skies were playing with us. They were pretty good. They kind of, from what I could tell, were sort of pretty standard stuff. I hadn't really heard anything from them that was like a real hook or anything like that. So Day of Contempt, Australian Legends, Hardcore Legends, they kind of started that whole scene here. Test Eagles, which are like haven't played in like 25 years, so like an old school. They were way ahead of their time, like kind of like an Australian rap, rock, metal type thing.
I like that.
Yeah, cool. I should recommend some. Maybe I'll throw some songs in a list. We'll do a fucking on the road today. I wasn't gonna put them in, but maybe I will. And then Fear Factory, Thy Art, Body Jar, Australian Legends. Just caught what we could. I ate some great shawarma. Drank a million beers. It was one of those days where you've had a huge day on the wines or whatever the day before, and now alcohol no longer affects you, which was very disappointing.
I've been there.
Exactly. What shows have you been to see?
Let's see. I had that weekend out of town. I guess it was 2 weekends ago at this point. No, it was about a weekend ago. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But Friday we saw, it was the Sanguisuga Bog, Kublai Khan, Whitechapel, and Lorna Shore.
Jeez, there was some words there to start that. What's that?
That show was sick. I'm not going to lie. Like, Lorna Shore is cool and all, but Whitechapel, and, you know, I never got super big into Whitechapel, honestly. I mean, I like them, don't get me wrong, but it's never been like my band, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were the band of the night. They were just, I know they've been around forever. They have no excuse to not be, but
I told you before we toured Australia with Whitechapel, eh?
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
And it was it's probably my favorite tour because it was Whitechapel, Psycroptic, and us just like driving it. You know what I mean? Like, which is not something that you do in Australia because it's like, you know, that's the American fucking tour story, right? Because everything's way closer together. But we did the East Coast and we did like lots of small towns and things like that. And each of us had a bus and we'd just like convoy, you know what I mean? And we'd stop at rest stops and fucking hang out, talk shit, like get drunk together on a night. And yeah, all became really close and had like a great time because the tour went for a couple of weeks sort of thing. So
nice. That
was really cool. Like to the point where when our album mentioned on one of these shows before actually was being mixed and mastered by Jason Sukov, they were in the studio recording with him at the time and they were texting us like, yo, this fucking track, blah, blah, blah. They were like, listen to it and stuff. It was really cool. But then obviously that's 1 million years ago. So I doubt they even remember us, you know, 14 years later. But yeah, they're great dudes, fucking real hardworking guys and yeah, a weapon of a band.
Yeah.
Lorna Shore coming up actually. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to.
Yeah, Lorna Shore were, they were great. They were great too.
I didn't, I'll leave it, but we have them coming up and Amy's created a playlist of like bands we've got coming up so we can familiarize ourselves with them. And I went to the gym the other day. I know, shocking, but I feel terrible. So I've got to get going. And I just pressed play on it and I thought it was on shuffle and it starts with Lorna Shore, Pain Remains One. And I'm listening to it, I'm doing weights or whatever. And I'm like, fucking, does every Lorna Shore song sound exactly the same? And then I realized it was Pain Remains 1, 2, and 3 in a row, like 20 minutes of what's essentially the same song. And I was like,
That's what they played live.
Just did the whole song, like the whole.
I'm not super familiar with them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. So I know they played that, and then I think they ended with like that To the Hellfire song.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like their bread and butter at the moment. Mm-hmm. But that was a cool show.
Yeah.
But then
who were the other bands? Kublai Khan.
Sangwasugabag opened. They're awesome.
I've never heard of them.
Oh yeah. I'll have to send you something of theirs. They're cool. Mm-hmm. They did this thing where we got there late, so we didn't get a good spot. We were like about the second story of the venue. So we were just kind of watching. But the vocalist comes out and he brings this football out, throws it in the crowd and goes, whoever has this football at the end of this song gets a free shirt at our merch table. And the crowd and the pit just fought over this.
Oh my God.
I'm guessing it's something they do at all their shows, I'd imagine. But that was fun to watch. I'm sure it wasn't fun to be around if you're not into that kind of thing.
No.
But Kublai Khan and Whitechapel. So
yeah, that's sick. That's really sick. Well, who else you seen? You seen you've been to heaps of shows recently, I feel like.
Yeah, no, that was a full weekend. So the second day was actually a con too. If anyone's into comedy, we went to Adam Ray's Dr. Phil. He does a like impersonation of Dr. Phil.
Right. And now I understand because I saw a picture of this guy and I'm like, this guy looks like Dr. Phil, but it isn't Dr. Phil.
Yeah. And that was it was in some little theater and it was really fun. We got to meet him after the show. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
That was fun. But then the third day we went to DC, which is not far from where we were, but we saw that rapper Tara Reid that I was talking about in the last episode of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and this other rapper from New York, Lord Sko. There was a couple other rappers on the card too that they were fine, but those were the two we went for. And that was really fun. They're very small venue and not a whole lot of people there, so it was real chill.
Yeah.
Very good time. And then that was a full weekend. And then the next Friday, I got a free ticket to go up to Philly for – who was on this one again? It was Angel Maker, Dying Fetus, and the Black Dahlia Murder. And I'm not super into any of those bands, but I'll tell you what, it was a great show. We got there really early and got up right on the front rail. Mm-hmm. And just chilled the whole time up there. Mm-hmm. Somebody else played too. I can't remember who opened it, but –
Loved Black Dahlia Murder. Also another band that we toured with. I think they were the first tour we ever did. Like the first Australian tour we ever did was with Black Dahlia Murder. And quick, funny story about that. So we had to, like, you know, all submit photos and things like that that were going to make the poster. And the poster came back and we were so confused because it said, "The Black Dahlia Murder." And they'd used our promo photo. Like, and we're like, we're not the Black Dahlia Murder. Like, why are we, what is going on? And like the graphic designer had mixed up the photos and obviously doesn't know who the fuck the band.
Yeah, right.
We're like, let's not say anything and see how this goes.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. And this is for like an Australian tour and it's just like pictures of us. Anybody like had it, it never would have got past editing, but had it, imagine if it got out into the world, people would have been like, that's not the Black Dahlia Murder.
This is Australia's Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, that was and then tomorrow I'll be seeing Filth and Resistor.
Yeah.
And right here in town here at the skate shop.
Yeah.
Which is always fun to not go out of town for something awesome.
Yeah. I love
that. I had to choose shop. Over because tomorrow was also Schlack and Matt Tremont and the No Rope Barbed Wire Cinder Block.
Fuck. Match. That's a choice. It's a choice.
Yeah. I have some friends coming down for the concert at the skate shop. I would feel like a dickhead if I was like, actually, I'm going out of town.
So I'm pacing out.
So I'm going to stick around, hang out with them, but yeah. I really wish I could be up there for that.
I mean, on the bright side is they'll definitely film Schlack and Tremont. They won't film the skate shop. So you can kind of do that, hang out with your friends, and then just, you know, watch it on your TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So,
yeah.
But yeah, other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, I also had to make a decision over wrestling because we had booked the South Australia trip ages ago for Froth and Fury, and then Joel's like, I'm putting on Dream, and we're like, bro, it's the same day. So we couldn't go. That's to when Dream.
Tremont was over there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Had it even been the next day or the day before, we probably would have gone there first and then come to Adelaide. Done them both, but they were at exactly the same time, essentially. So it just couldn't work. But by all reports, it was wicked. And I'm really looking forward to when it goes up on IWTV.
Oh, I'll definitely be watching that.
Yeah. That'll be hot. All right, then. Well, should we do some recommendations then? Want to do that?
Yeah.
You want to kick us off? So for anybody that doesn't know, the link will be in the show notes, but we have a playlist. It's called On the Road with Anything Goes. And it's a playlist for the road warriors of this world. Those of you that like to listen to new music while driving, maybe you're driving to a show and you need to get pumped, maybe you're driving home and you need to stay awake, any of those things. This is for the wrestlers. This is for the fans. And really, it's a very polyjamorous list. It's just made up of anything that Alex and I are digging at the moment. And if you're the kind of person that always wants to listen to new music and likes lots of different styles and things like that, you're going to find that here.
Yeah. So
it's definitely sort of heavier focused, but then it's going to have, you know, both of us like punk, both of us like hardcore, both of us like sometimes just pure pop and whatever.
Exactly.
You know, oldies, whatever. It's just going to be what it is. So, don't shame us. So
basically, we were going to talk about a band and an album of, and then we'll pick a song or two from that album to throw into this playlist. So, you know, it's not overwhelming. The playlist with one particular band was
exactly
two songs per recommendation. And if the other person also likes the album, throw in an honorable mention.
Yeah.
So some of them might have three, but that's about it.
Absolutely.
So if you don't like any of the one bands, you're not going to get hammered to death with them.
Absolutely. So, and you know, you can use it as a template for your own playlist. Like you can look through it and you could play it and you could grab out songs that you like and leave ones that you don't and things like that.
Yeah, so you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Sure. So my first recommendation is an album that I came across a couple months ago, and I sent them to you, and we both loved it. And it was a Wind Waker's Hyperviolence album.
Oh, great choice. I'm going to see them really soon. And by really soon, I mean next year. There's a week to 2 weeks in February where every band on God's fucking green earth are coming to Perth, and I have to go see them all, and I want to see every single one of them, but I don't want to see them all in the same week. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that, yes.
It's too much. It's like Wind Waker, Throne, Charlie XCX, Speed. We've also the same weekend traveling to Brisbane to go fucking see AEW, coming back, seeing Lorna Shore. Like, it's like – Ridiculous, yeah. Dude. I'm talking like 8 to 10 shows in 10 days. It's fucked.
Got to pick and choose.
We're not good at that. We're going to go see everything, but we're just going to die. Yeah. And like, we don't like to use our leave for things that we don't need to, like, you know, not travel international for. So I'm just going to be bad. And it's like the week that schools return, like in person. So actually kind of my busiest week at work. So I'm just going to, I don't know, take up speed. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be fucked. But anyway, recommend stuff from Wind Waker, because Wind Waker you recommended to me, even though they're an Australian band. And when I listened to this album, I kept thinking that the album had finished and it had started to auto playlist, because it really is a varied album. They do like lots of stuff on it. You know, there'll be heavy tracks, there'll be kind of like rappy tracks, kind of like a poppy track. Like
straight pop out. Yeah, everything's on here. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's why I really caught my eye, because, yeah, I thought the same thing. Every once in a while, you're like, oh, that album must be over. And you're like, no, this is just a random like hip hop out song on the middle of it.
Yeah.
But if I had to put two songs on here, I got to go with Sirens. I feel like that's the big song from the album. That's more of a traditional metalcore sounding song. I like that one a lot. And then I also am going to throw in Break the Rules, because that one in itself has a few different genres.
That's probably my favorite track on the album. I'm not as big on Sirens. But yeah, those are both really great tracks. I will recommend from Hyperviolence, what's it called? Hang on, I'm just quickly looking at it. It is called Venom.
Okay.
Tabula Rasa is pretty good too. But
yeah, I was actually thinking of that also.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're doing two honorable mentions. That'll be four from Wind Waker. But it's not, like we said, it's not clogging up the playlist, because they're all completely different styles of tracks. So
yeah, that's also true.
Yeah. That's a really good one. I am going to go with something, a completely different vibe for that we've had so far. And it was a band that I discovered via TikTok. It just kind of came up, and it was like, you've just like POV, you've just found your new favorite emo pop band, and they embrace the accent. And by that, I mean, they sing with like an Australian accent, not like a put on American accent. And the band's called Pretty Bleak. The album is In Retrospect. And I'm going to recommend the tracks Other People's Heads and Like You Know Better. I sent you the one track, and I know you were like, I really like that. Like,
That's the one you sent me when I was at the concert. Yeah. I did like that. Yeah. I remember what you're talking about now.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, just really well put together songs, great lyrics. And I'm kind of really digging like my own accent in songs lately. So I don't know. Yeah.
You said other people's heads, and what was the other one?
Like You Know Better.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you don't have an honorable mention, I'm going to cheat and throw one. Put in Eyes Roll Back as well. Eyes Roll Back is a bit like, and Like You Know Better, a little bit more vibey. They're not like verse, chorus, chorus kind of thing. They'll sit pretty well in the playlist. They kind of work like interludes kind of thing. There's a guitar solo in there. Yeah, it's cool.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my turn.
Yep.
So I've recently discovered this band myself. I haven't shared them with you yet. I don't remember if you enjoy stuff like Dance Gavin Dance. That's like one of my favorite bands of all time. I know a lot of.
I've got a mate, James, who's a singer in my band, and we always like the same shit, and he's always on me to get into them. But I've just never heard a track that's all the way hit. So maybe this is my entry into.
Well, it's not Dance Gavin Dance. It's a band that's very, very similar.
Might need to do them later then.
Oh, yeah. That'll be on for sure. That's in my top five favorite bands of all time. But this band's called Grapevine Gossip.
Okay.
I don't even remember where I found them, but they sound just like Dance Gavin Dance with just a little bit more like, I guess you want to call it like whimsicalness to it. It's a little more silly.
Yeah.
Not that Dance Gavin Dance isn't fun, but this is like if Dance Gavin Dance was like made it Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the album is called The Bizarre Adventures of Great Boy.
Okay. I already like it.
And Yeah. So like I said, if you like Dance Gavin Dance, you'll probably enjoy these guys. Some of their lyrics are a little strange, but I like it. The two songs I'm going to recommend are Tangerine Daydream.
Okay.
And GBRC, which apparently stands for George Bush Rookie Card, because it says it at the beginning of the song, which is very funny. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a, like, I've been listening to these guys for about a week now, and it was worthy to throw on this list because I've been really liking it. So,
oh, well, yeah, there you go. That's awesome. Now, I actually wasn't going to choose this band, but since you didn't do it second, I'm absolutely just going to stitch you up because I think it will be funny. And okay, it's a band that you recommended to me just the other day, and that is Cliff Diver.
That's on my list also.
Yeah, I know. I thought it'd be funny to steal it from you, even though you gave it to me. I love this album. So the album is Birdhouse. Is that what's called?
Birdwatching.
Birdwatching, yep. So Cliff Diver, Birdwatching. You introduced me to the track Days Gone. I also love I loved a bunch of the tracks off the album, but I think my second recommendation would be Team Fight Tactics, like the next song after it. It's like two to maybe three singers, like two main singers, but I think maybe one of the other band members sings as well, because there is a track where I feel like there's three voices. But yeah, like the main kind of the main singer is like an African-American woman who has like an amazing voice.
Her voice is so good. I was just talking about that with one of my friends who I also sent it to, and I just randomly sent him a text the other day and was like, dude, her voice is incredible.
Yeah, I love her. Yeah. I think she's amazing. And then the guy singer is kind of like, he kind of does like an emo sad boy type thing, but can also do like screaming and things like that. I don't know. They're kind of their own genre, and I've really been into bands that are like that and very original at the moment. So yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's one of my favorite recommendations that you've given me in recent.
Very nice. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I didn't know who to send that to. I kind of took a shot in the dark with that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's dead on for me. I'm usually like the kind of guy that likes something a little bit better. I'm very like, I don't like bands that all sound the same, right? So sometimes there'll be like a genre where everybody starts to sound a bit the same, you know, that kind of deathcore-y type thing. I'll pick my favorite couple of bands that have hooked me in, and then they're that genre to me, and then I have no interest in any other band in the genre. You know what I mean? I'm like, it's done. They've sewn it up. That's it. You know, like, I'm kind of like that. I'm like, I don't need somebody to tick this box. I've already got that over here, is how I tend to be. So if something's a little bit different, then I tend to be a bit more into that.
Yep.
Do you have an honorable mention from that one?
Yeah, I'm going to throw Wood, though. That's the song that's kind of after the really heavy one.
Oh, yeah, that's like good. Yeah,
stays a little heavy.
Yeah,
that's a really good one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All righty.
We got, I had to skip that one. Luckily, I put, what was that? I'm sorry.
Do we have one more each? Let's do one more each.
Yeah, sure. I had four and you took one of them, so I have three now, so that works perfect.
Nice.
My last one is the Barbarians of California's album. And now I'm just gnashing my teeth.
So you've been on at me to get into it, and I did listen to it, but I listened to it on the plane during some terrible turbulence, and now I'm traumatized and can't listen to it anymore. And I'm not a person that is afraid of flying, nor has ever been bothered by turbulence, but this shit was bad, man. Like, it was fucking, it was a lot. I was like, this is the end. And so now whenever I've tried a couple of times to get into this, and it does have parts I like, but it just hasn't been able to hit for me. I'm letting it cool off and then I'll reset.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, I don't expect everything I like to be everyone's thing, but this is the dude from AWOL Nation's new band.
Not even sure who
I was surprised when I found that out. And then as soon as I found that out, I can hear the song Sail, his voice in a lot of the songs. So, but the two songs I'm going to recommend are Three Letters, which is a really weird one. That's why I like it a lot. And then A Far Out Bro. I don't know. It's cool. It kind of reminds me of like Every Time I Die a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely has elements of that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you like that kind of thing, you'll probably like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Which sounds like something I should be really into. But as I say, I just need a day where I'm in the right mindset to get at it.
It's saved for sure.
My playlists and stuff like that. Maybe this playlist will do it. It'll come back in. I'll be like, who the fuck's that? It'll be that. Did you recommend two tracks yet?
Yeah, yeah. Three letters and far out, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Those two. I'll throw them on there.
All right. Well, continuing my stance of recommending things that are nothing like anything else that's on this playlist for today, I'm going to recommend George Benson, legendary guitarist and kind of funk jazz singer. When after our big wine tour, we were on the roof of our hotel. They had a DJ playing and we ordered a big platter, pizzas, tacos, things like that. Exactly what you need after a full day on the wines. Had a really enjoyable time. But this DJ was great, just fucking immaculate vibes. And he just brought up a lot of songs for me that I was like, fuck yeah. And kind of at one point I was just vibing and I saw him walking along and he gave me the eye. He's like, yeah, you fucking know, don't you? And I was like, yeah, that's sick. And then the next time I sat down and then it's like this slow turn, like, and he was like, yeah, he's looking at me like, yes. I was like, as he just delivered banger after banger. So we're just going to, George Benson's got so many songs, but I'm going to give you my favorite two from the George Benson collection, which is the album. And that's Turn Your Love Around and Give Me the Night. And
Turn
if
your do you, love around. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then
sorry, I'm typing it in.
It's okay. And do you have an honorable mention? Because if not, I can throw one in.
Go ahead and throw one in because I'm not even 100% sure if I know who this is.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully you vibe it, but let's throw in the track Brazen too. Brazen's like more of an instrumental type thing, which is as I've done these kind of things as, you know, we're trying to put together a masterpiece of playlist history here and sometimes you just need something to cool you down. So, yeah, but this is really funky and I can't imagine anybody that's fucking listening to some of the shit we like heavy shit that we're playing and then suddenly Turn Your Love Around comes on. They're going to be like, what the fuck? But it's
Well, cool. We do have Chapel Roan in here too, so.
Exactly. Fuck it. Exactly. We're poly. So,
okay.
Sorry,
you said turn your love around and what were the other two?
Give Me the Night.
Okay.
And Brazen.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go. And that's another on the road. We did it. We did the damn thing.
So real quick, if I could add one honorable mention that I've gotten, my brother listens to this and he was telling me earlier, next time, well, he's on his way here to see that Filth show tomorrow. So I'm waiting for him to get here.
Yeah.
But he wanted me to throw in the band Bloody Woods' new song, New Delhi. They're like an Indian metal band.
I know. That song rules.
He was like, throw this in there. And I was like, you can be the recommendation. So I'll throw that in there in honor of him. He'll enjoy that. So,
Then. I'll also do one because I mentioned them on the podcast, but I haven't actually done them, which is Great American Ghost. The song is they were really good. The song is Ann Arbor, ANNARBOR, brackets, Be Safe. That was ripping. And they were really good. They were on in the afternoon, but they went so hard, were completely committed to it. I really enjoyed them. And then they were also in the line together on a plane. They came back to Perth on the same plane that we were on because they were going to be supporting Thy Artist Murder on the Sunday night.
Oh, wow. Nice.
We didn't know that show was happening, or at least we didn't care about it before. We almost went, but once we hit the couch with the dog and after 4 days of partying constantly and alcohol no longer affecting us, we were like, we can't do it. It's
understandable.
Like, I'm like, I go back to work tomorrow. I cannot fucking, yeah, exactly. And Perth does this all the time, right? They do fucking, it's Sunday night, you know, it's a week night. Well, you know, the night before a school day and they'll put like 4 to 5 bands on and I'll end up not leaving the venue till like 1 a.m. It's like, just give me short and sweet 2 to 3 bands. Let's have the entire thing finished by midnight. But this
or
is how
start
you
it,
can tell.
Start it at like 1 or 2.
Yeah. This is how you, but it'll start at fucking 8, you know what I mean? And it'll just go all night. First band won't be until like 8:39, fucking something like that. And I sound like the most 42-year-old man of all time, and I am that. So like, and I party more than most, man. People were like, fucking how are you at fucking doing this thing day after day and fucking getting up in the morning and going to boozy brunches and shit like that. It's fine, but like fucking if I have to work the next day, then I'm not doing those things. Like, you know, I'll do it to an extent, but there's got to be a cap. And it's like after 4 days of all that kind of stuff, I was like, I have seen every single band on this bill. I was just saw them all. So I was like, I can't do it again. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to have to go. I've got to feed this dog. You can hear it whining in the background. So, dude, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks for checking out another Anything Goes, a bit of a break from the wrestling stuff, and we will have another interview coming to you down the track, and Alex and I will eventually talk about wrestling again. Isn't that right, my man?
Absolutely.
And that's it. Tell them where to find you. What's that?
So maybe we'll have a guest next time or something.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, sure.
We were talking about that before, just to do a guest on the Anything Goes thing. We can just
that would be
bullshit with somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, no. You look me up on Instagram, Vinyls and Violence. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where I linger most of the time. So that's where you can find me.
Absolutely. And yeah, if you're here, you probably already know, but it's at Faces Feels Cast. On everything. If you've got any suggestions for the On the Road playlist, anything, topics that you want Alex and I to cover, or any interviews that you want to hear me do on the main feed, just slide into the DMs and send it through. And I just remembered that in a few hours I'm going to all-day beer festival. So fuck me. But shout out to the amazing Ryan from Brucha Libre, local brewer here who was like, want to come with us? I got a couple of tickets for you. So very excited to go hang out with him. I think it starts at 11 and runs kind of all day. So we're going to zoom out to Coastal Frio and fucking just drink beers and talk shit all day. So
sounds great. Yeah. Send me pictures of anything good you have.
I will. I'll hook you up. I think also the Endless Grand Championship will be in effect and maybe being actively defended, which is his 24-hour championship. I've refereed that before. So I might be cannon pinfalls as fucking wrestlers roll each other up in beer. So we'll see how it goes.
That sounds awesome, man.
That's it. All right, my dude. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And remember, it's all about peace, love, and pro wrestling. Thanks for listening. Faces and Feels is a proud member of the Count Out Podcasting Network. It is created and hosted by me, Rafe Houston, edited by myself and the amazing Ryan Neitzy. And the show is available on all good podcast platforms, so please go rate and subscribe. You can follow the show everywhere on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. at Faces Feels Cast. And you can check out the Count Out Network and all our sister shows over there at Count Out Pod. If you'd like to book me for commentary, have an interview request, a topic suggestion, or you just want to say hi, you can email us at facesandfeels@gmail.com. With all that said, thanks for listening, and please support our friends and sponsors. Peace.
My body is a roadmap of pain.
DeathmatchWorldwide.com. The official online merchandise store that is only for Deathmatch Wrestling. Featuring official t-shirts from No Peace Underground, John Wayne Murdoch, Akira, Madman Pondo, Zona 23, Neil Diamond Cutter, G Raver, Schlack, Necro Butcher, and many more. If you are a Deathmatch wrestler, promotion, manager, or platform and are interested in joining the web store, send us an email to deathmatchworldwide@yahoo.com. Deathmatchworldwide.com for the final view.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumpy Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumpy Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.